Condemnation always drives a person away from God and one another, whereas conviction from the Holy Spirit draws people to God and restores people to one another. See the difference? We have a tendency to condemn. We can't convict. Only God can do that. And how do we allow Him that role and that purpose? By us cooperating, by doing our part, which is forgiveness that releases Him to be a God of justice.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. It's one of the toughest assignments you and I will ever be given as Christians, learning to forgive. Oh, we might say we forgive, but do we forget, or do we just keep bringing up the same old issues over and over again? Well, today, Pastor Wayne will help us learn to put the past behind once and for all. Here he is with a message entitled, The Steps of Forgiveness.
We want to talk about forgiveness today. Reason is because that I heard that someone told a very inappropriate joke about my age last week. It was underhanded, uncalled for, undeserved, and untrue. But other than that, it was kind of funny. We need to talk about forgiveness, partly because we live in a society where forgiveness is not popular. You don't ask for forgiveness, especially in this country that's so litigious. In fact, you'll have attorneys say, don't confess, because if you do, then they're going to take everything you got, and you're in trouble. So we've got to fight for everything, because forgiveness is not popular here. Revenge is. It's avenging things, getting back. That's what makes news. That's the stuff that magazines are written about. In fact, Hollywood's biggest blockbusters are all about revenge. Of recent date is Taken, with Liam Neeson, about getting his daughter back from those that had kidnapped her, and he turns into this renegade militia agent. And then you have Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he goes after those that went after his men. And then we all know Russell Crowe's Gladiator, how he goes after Commodus, who took advantage of his family and killed them. It's all revenge. And here's a good one, Kill Bill. Kill Bill. Uma Thurman goes after Bill, because I know he's out there. And then we all know Death Wish with Charles Bronson. That's up to Death Wish 5 now. It'll probably go to 70 times 7. You can keep going on those. You see, the reason is because we can make money off of revenge. Do you know how many attorneys we have in the United States of America? According to the American Bar Association, 1,200,000 attorneys practicing. And if you do the math, that's 22,500 attorneys per state. Per state. Why? Because we can make lots of money off of revenge. I mean, that's just how it is. Story is told of this mafia boss that heard that his accountant was pilfering money. And his accountant was deaf, but he was really good with figures. So he was the mafia boss's accountant. But he heard that he was pilfering, so he took his attorney. Now, the thing about this attorney is he could also sign. So he said to his attorney, we're going to get that million back. And you sign for me. You tell this guy what I want him to hear. So he said, you tell him, I want my $1 million back. I know you hid it. And so he's signing. And the accountant signs back to the attorney, tell him I don't have it. So he said, he doesn't have it. He said to the attorney, you tell him I want it back. He said, he wants it back. And the accountant says, I don't have it. And he says to the mafia boss, he doesn't have it. He said, tell him I will kill him if he doesn't give me that money. And so he signs it. And the guy says, I don't have the money. So he said, he doesn't have the money. And he pulls out his gun, and he cocks it, and tell him, I will shoot him in the head if he doesn't tell me right now where that money is. And the attorney says, he really means it this time. He will shoot you in the head if you don't tell him where the money is. And the accountant signs back, okay, it's in my left drawer in my desk. And the attorney says to the mafia boss, he said he doesn't believe that you'll pull the trigger. So you can make money off of revenge, but not forgiveness. Forgiveness is milquetoast. is it? Today, you're going to find that God's justice is mixed with mercy. And he has in it much mercy, but he also is a God of justice if we understand how to partner with him. And it is in the role of forgiveness. We want to talk about the importance of forgiveness today. Because forgiveness, your ability to forgive, will actually determine the quality of your love. Your ability to forgive. Because if you don't forgive people and you can't forgive, it determines the quality of your love. In fact, that's exactly what it says in Luke 7:47. A woman who wept over Jesus' feet, washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And though she was pushed aside, there was a condescension taking place with the Pharisees saying, who does she think she is? This is terrible. But Jesus says something very interesting. Let's read what it says in your notes, would you? Luke 7:47, nice and loudly, go. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. You see, when you understand how much God has forgiven you, you move into the role of forgiveness a lot easier, and it determines the depth and quality of your love. It's not just love that changes the world, it's God's quality of love. Because love can be like shirts or clothing or food. There's qualities to it. Because in America, we can love everything from your dog to your apple pie to basketball. We love our wives, our kids, but we also love sports and boating. We use that word so freely, but there's a quality of love that'll change the world, and that'll often be seen in the way that we're able to or unable to forgive. The day was October 2nd in 2006, just a few years ago. A place called Nickel Mines near Lancaster, Pennsylvania. A gunman, Charles Carl Roberts, entered a one-room classroom, Nickel Mines School, of the Amish people. He took some hostages, shot 10 children between ages 6 and 13. Five of them died there, one on the way to the hospital, four survived. It was Emma Fisher, who was 13 years old, when he said, I will kill these children. She stepped forward with such courage and said, I'm the oldest, therefore I should be shot first. These Amish children of great faith were shot. And then he turned the gun on himself and committed suicide. When the police found them, that's the mess that they saw. They rushed the living to the hospital. It was a devastating blow to the Amish community, people of such great faith. But here's the thing that was amazing. It wasn't just that murderous event. And the gunman actually left behind him a widow and three of his own children. But here's the amazing thing of the event. Within that day, elders from the Amish community walked to the widow's house, knocked on her door, and offered forgiveness. Forgiveness to her, to the gunman. And not only did they do that, they began a college fund for those three kids, knowing that they would be under such a burden of such a bad reputation of what took place with their father, that they would not have a chance in life. So they actually put it into action and started a scholarship for these three kids and then a fund to help take care of the widow. And the father of this man wept so profusely for an hour while one of the Amish elders held him and comforted him. Now, it's not popular because some commentators, to me, that was like amazing. But I actually read this. Some commentators and some news reports said this, and I quote, some commentators criticized the swift and complete forgiveness with which the Amish responded, arguing that forgiveness is inappropriate when no remorse has been expressed. And this runs the risk of denying the existence of evil. It's crazy. They said, well, we don't approve of this kind of forgiveness. It's too complete. That's the society in which we live. And that's why forgiveness is not popular, but we live by a higher standard. Now, some people say, wait a minute, though. Isn't forgiveness like just overlooking and ignoring evil? No, no. Let me give you five things about forgiveness, and then we'll talk about steps of forgiveness, how we can partner with what God is wanting to do in the world and what our part is and why forgiveness is so important. Let me tell you five things about forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness is not just forgetting it. Like some people say, just forget it. Well, you can't. Forgiveness means a change of the way I see what I remember. It changes my perspective about it. I start to see it from a whole new perspective, from God's perspective. It doesn't mean it'll wipe out your circuit boards. It just means that you'll need to change your heart and see it the way God would see it in the bigger picture. Number two, forgiveness is not destructive. Like, I forgive you so you can keep beating on me. No, it doesn't mean that we let hurt and damage continue and go on. Number three, forgiveness is based on recognizing and admitting that people are always bigger than their faults. Otherwise, we diminish people to their performance. And if you didn't perform, then I devalue you. People are always more important than their performance. People are eternal. Performance comes out of immaturity or even evil, but that's temporary. If we give ourselves to that, that's their choice, not ours. We get to raise people above their performance. Jesus does. He lifts up us more important than how we act. That's what forgiveness is all about in our lives. Then number four, forgiveness recognizes that I need second chances. And by forgiving, I posture or avail myself to His grace. But here it is, number five, and you need to catch this. Forgiveness is not the same thing as approval. It simply recognizes that it is God who is to bring about justice, not me. Now, that's going to be our first point. So write it in your notes. Number one, first step to justice, leave justice to whom? To God. Yep, leave justice to God. If you don't and you take it into your own hands, it can be devastating. It's like that woman whose husband was dying and she was wiping his brow because of the perspiration. He was in his last throes of life, dying. And he said, honey, I've got to confess before I die. She says, shh, everything's all right. He said, no, I got to confess. It's all heavy on my heart. I've been having an affair with your best friend for the last 2 years. She said, all is forgiven. All is forgiven. He said, no, that's not the end of it. I was also having an affair with our next door neighbor's wife, too, for the last 2 years. She said, shh, all is forgiven. All is forgiven. He said, no, then I've been doing some other stuff with your other friend. She said, shh, all is forgiven. I've known about all of these things for the last 2 years. He said, what? You've known about it? She said, yes, but all is forgiven. He said, you've known about it? She said, yes. Why do you think I poisoned you? It has to be complete forgiveness. Because if you take some of the justice of God, it doesn't work. This is not a both and, it's an either or. And you've got to let God have justice, or if you take it, it's all yours. And I tell you, when you deal with sin, it will corrode your soul, even if it's somebody else's sin. God did not create you and me to mess with sin. It destroys us like an acid on the inside. It makes us bitter and vengeful. It destroys our personality. God didn't create you to do well in sin, yours or somebody else's. There's only one who can handle that, and that is the Creator of the universe. Only He can handle sin. We get destroyed by it. That's why the wages of sin is death. That's why forgiveness is incredibly important. You know that that's a gift for you. It's not a gift for somebody else. God's going to take care of them. Forgiveness is a gift for me to keep myself from being corroded by that person's view of me or thoughts or talk or slander, whatever it might be. But you see, what happens is we take part of the justice of God. And God is saying, no. Romans 2 and verse 6 says it this way. It's not in your notes, but it says, God will render to each person according to his deeds. Don't you worry. God is not so unjust as to forget what took place. God is a just God. But if you take on his role as yours, then he stops and says, then it's up to you, because it's not going to be a both and. It's an either or. And it's crazy for us to say we'll take justice into our own hands. Now, God indeed in Romans chapter 13 has given permission to the government and other places of oversight to govern the people and to give out due penalties, etc. But when it comes to us and our neighbors, because we are representing not the government, not the U.S., we represent heaven, we come under a different law. And God is saying, I'll partner with you. I'll take care of the justice. You take care of the forgiveness. But I won't be so remiss to let that go, because the wages of sin is death. But I'll handle the justice part. You do your part. And we're going to partner together and watch what I can do. But if you take part of it, I'll wait. It's crazy. I'd rather have God deal with the justice part. And let me tell you, he does a good job. He's a very just God. But it has to be an either or. And what we do is we take our role and trust him to do his, lest we say, I'll be the one who recompenses justice and you can go ahead and be the forgiver. No, no, no. He actually says, you're the forgiver. I take care of the justice part. And that's exactly what it says in 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Would you read that with me? Nice and loudly. Go. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, but dealing out retribution to those who do not know or do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So he's saying, I'll take care of my part, you take care of yours. Now, we sort of like the both and, though. We say, well, we'll just do our part. You see, when you don't like somebody and you're a non-Christian, you just cuss at them or flip them the bird or say something, and then you're done. It's done. But Christians, because we can't do that, most can't do that, we have to figure out different ways to punish one another. So you know what Christians are really good at? We're really good at subtly punishing one another. How? Oh, we give them the silent treatment. We kind of walk off like this. We cut them out of certain occasions of our life. But the best is we put them on guilt trips. We love to put people on guilt trips and let them just wallow in that for a while. Some months ago, I was with a young man, we'll just call his name Darren. We were talking just about this, and it's so subtle, you can't even see it. He had gone to these organic markets and bought this nice fruit and vegetables for his mother because she likes certain kinds of fruits and vegetables. So he took a whole bunch to her, and his mother received it, and he left, but she gave him a check for $100 to pay for all of this. That was nice. As he's driving away, however, he got a call on his cell phone from his mother. And his mother was complaining about the quality of the fruits and vegetables that he had purchased. And he said to me, hey, I don't need the money. If she's going to grumble and complain about it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to give her the check back. I'll just give her the check back. What do you think about that, Wayne? Is that good? Just give her the check back. I said, no, you don't want to do that. He said, why? I'll just give her the check back. I said, no, you want to keep the check and forgive her and let God work on her heart. Because it may have been a time of the day that she wasn't doing well. She was a little upset. Let God deal with her. Forgiveness allows God to work on her heart. But if you give her the check back, you know what it is? It's your subtle way of punishing her. Because when she gets the check back, what's she going to feel? Guilty. I said, if you really didn't need the money, as soon as she would have given you that check, you would have said, no, please keep it. It's a gift. But you didn't you? You took it. You needed the money. But now it's going to be punishment. And we put each other on a guilt trip, but we say, no, we'll just give her the check back because I don't need the money. I just want to do it out of my heart. No, you didn't. But we're so subtle in that we don't even see ourselves punishing one another. Sometimes I'd rather someone just call me a name and flip a bird or whatever, then it's out, done, finished. We can get on with it. I'm not giving you permission to do that. We'd have a line after church waiting. But you understand, we have to say no. We give forgiveness that allows God to take care of that person. And he never condemns. He may convict, but he doesn't condemn. Always remember, the Holy Spirit is likened to a dove, not a hawk. And God doesn't circle to condemn. He hovers and convicts. And here's the big difference. We, with a lack of forgiveness, brings condemnation or guilt trips or silent treatments. And watch this. Condemnation always drives a person away from God and one another, whereas conviction from the Holy Spirit draws people to God and restores people to one another. See the difference? We have a tendency to condemn. We can't convict. Only God can do that. Let him by his Spirit do that. And how do we allow him that role and that purpose? Is by us cooperating, by doing our part, which is forgiveness that releases him to be a God of justice. And God will say to us this next verse. Let's read it together. Go. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. In other words, God says that he will take care of it. And if it's justice that's needed, he'll deal with it. But he will mix it with mercy. So that's why when you're answering these questions, really both are correct in that God is going to give his justice. It's mixed with mercy. And so when that person comes to a point in his or her life where after a while, because of their whatever they did in opposition and in sin or in violation, their hearts might change. That's a justice of God convicting, not condemning, convicting, you see. But if we take justice into our own hands, it condemns, guilt trip, punishes. God says, no, I'll take care of my part. We're going to do this together. Conviction is like pouring coals on their head. Their hearts burn within them. They fall on their knees. That's God's hope. And then he can bring mercy. Whereas we will shut the door because we can't forgive. And it just destroys us. Always remember, bitterness is like drinking poison while waiting for the other person to die. So our role to keep us free from sin is forgiveness. Does that mean you approve sin? No. It releases God to be the judgment God, the just God. And he takes care of things like it needs to be taken care of. Because he knows the wages of sin is death. So, okay then, I'll just tell somebody, I forgive you, but watch what God's about to do to you. No. No. You can't do it. God's going to get you in the end, buddy. No. In fact, it's going to come up on the PowerPoint, and it's not in your notes, but let me read this. It says this in Proverbs. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, or the Lord will see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him. You understand? The scope of forgiveness is understanding how I partner with God. Will God be just? You better believe it. And so my role, in order to release him to his role, my role is to forgive, trusting in God. I forgive. God, I know you'll do this a whole lot better than I, because if I take it into my hands, it kills me. And the hate, when I put it into my vessel, will destroy me far sooner than upon whom I pour it. It corrodes my soul. So it allows God to be God. Now you say, okay, well, what if somebody keeps messing with me then? Well, here it is. You may be violated in some way, and you forgive. But here it is. Would you write down? Write down. Be wise, but not vindictive. Be wise. If someone bilks you, don't go and let them do it again or a third time. Forgiveness isn't being gullible. Be wise, but not vindictive.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled The Steps of Forgiveness by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero, and I want you to be one of the first to know that there's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services starting May 17th, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.